Welcome to the Data Strategy Show, 66 Questions, Data Leaders Unplugged. I'm your host, Samir Sharma, and I'm delighted to have none other than Scott Taylor, the Data Whisperer, on the show today as my guest. And to let you know, this is the final episode of Season 2. Now, I've known Scott for roughly about 4 years. And I'm sure that you've come across him in your data travels. If not, then you are in for a big treat today. Scott and I have a lot of fun, as I'm sure you'll get to hear and listen in on this final episode of 66 Questions. And yes, sadly, we are done with Season 2. And what fun it's been! We've had amazing data leaders on Season 2. I can't recount all the names, but you can go back and listen to the back catalogue for sure. I'm preparing for Season 3 and listen out for it in the next month or so. So, finally, enjoy listening to Scott do his thing, and please do like, share, comment, and tell everybody about Season 2. Behind every data leader, there is a person, and here is Scott Unplugged. Scott Taylor, the Data Whisperer, welcome to the Data Strategy Show. 66 questions, data leaders unplugged. We're going to unplug you today, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm ready to be unplugged. I get too plugged in too many times. But Samir, great to see you. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure, man. Pleasure. Always a pleasure. Listen, we're going to go straight into it. 66 questions, as I said. Quick All fire right. answers. Don't labor on it. So okay. Tell me, Scott, with your ruffled hair, what is your wake-up ritual?
Clearly, it's not brush my hair in the morning. Those of you who can't see this, I'm a bit disheveled, but yes. Samir promised me it's video only.
It is video wake only.
Coffee right away. Got to get coffee. Yeah.
Got to get that in the veins.
And I just kind of like catch up on stuff. I got, you know, I sort of curl up with my iPad in the morning for 45 minutes or an hour and just like randomly go through things, sort of wakes me up. I don't like to just sort of jump right on the computer and start cranking away, but it's news, it's LinkedIn, it's my kids write me, what else is happening? So it's really kind of like a random scrolling sort of kind of thing, but it kind of gets me going.
A slow wake up. That's good.
It is.
That's
good. I'm at a point where that works for me.
I'm going to send you a hairbrush in the mail though.
Okay. Thank you.
this is a daunting question for me to ask you. What's your biggest strength?
My biggest strength, creativity. That's what I think. I just kind of ooze that, if you will. But I've always been a creative person in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And I really think that that's my strongest suit that I play. I mean, back when I was, you know, interviewing for jobs, they'd ask me the same thing and I would start with that answer.
Yeah.
But just being able to actually, you know, look at a, you know, start with a blank whatever and then create something out of it or find a bunch of elements that are sort of random and then make that into something new. Those are, really exhilarating for me. But I know I can kind of lean on that creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it shows anyway, your creative soul comes out at oozes out from you at every angle, I would say. So what's the biggest learning experience you've ever had?
Ever?
Yeah. I know you've probably had many, but you know, what's the one that sticks in your head?
Oh boy. I think, when I think of the business side, I think engaging with senior leaders in a way that is, you know, that you're really talking with them. And so I've worked with a disproportionate amount of this sort of a type of learning experience, disproportionate amount of CEOs and top leaders in my career, both as somebody engaging with them on the client side, but also in my own companies. And I worked for some really large companies and always had a relationship with the CEO.
Yeah.
And so finding that way to get into their office and their conversations and doing it without pissing off everybody in between me hierarchically and the CEO, which doesn't always happen.
Which you can't avoid that, can you?
Just simply can't. No. And
what do they call them? Gatekeepers.
gatekeepers, or just, you know, my boss's boss once in a while, I'm talking to his boss's boss, right? And it's just kind of weird. So learning how to navigate that sort of political, I don't know if that's very the good. Biggest thing, but it's,
one of the biggest things, I guess.
It's if you want to survive the way I did in the corporate world. Mm. And I would always say, look, I'm not here with an agenda, which was actually one of the first CEOs I talked to when I was working at VNU, which is a large data company. He actually interrupted me right in the beginning. And he goes, is there an agenda here? Do you have an agenda? And I was like, no. He goes, okay, good. Because they're so used to people coming in.
With a 3-point kind of, yeah.
And, you know, and I'm, you know, am I trying to like move something hierarchically, organizationally? And so just dealing with a lot of that stuff, I guess.
Okay. Are there any hobbies you will never give up?
They'll never give up. Yeah. I mean, I kayak, which is fun. I make things again, sort of that's the creative aspect of stuff. Put stuff together. You know, I consider myself kind of an editing hobbyist. So my work that I do in video started off when I was a kid doing Super 8 movies. And what I would consider real editing. You have to cut the frame and
splice it back together again
and like
I used to see my father doing that.
I love it. I'm like addicted to timing on video and I just love it.
I could just imagine you sitting there, no, it didn't go right.
And for me it's really exhilarating to like cut a frame or two. And then have it be 10 times better. That's all sometimes it takes.
So what makes you angry?
Bullies make me angry. When people, and this is again, sort of like my whole life from when I was a kid to even, you know, a few days ago dealing with ridiculous people in my building. I live in a condominium and, you know, there's always personalities there. But I just bridle at when people are just bullies, and I have, you know, stood up to more than my share of them in a variety of ways, but I just cannot stand it.
Agreed. Do you have a first memory of life?
I guess so. It was kind of dark and then suddenly it became lighter and there were a bunch of people with masks and I was upside down and got
smacked. Give me that. Don't give me that. Just say no.
For a moment.
Just say no, Scott.
I mean, early on, a little. I remember. I guess it's kind of with my parents at some sort of picnic in a tent. It's not the first time I've thought about this, and it's just sort of like a glimmer of being with them. They were together. Yeah. My parents were divorced when I was fairly young, so like remembering them together
in
Southern California, which is where I grew up.
Beautiful.
Sort of that
beautiful
sort of thing.
Tell me, what's the best compliment you've ever received?
There was when I was at Dun & Bradstreet, when I was brought into Dun & Bradstreet, I was brought in to help them tell a better story about one of their core products, which was master data, the way I defined it.
Right.
And so I was there and I put the story together and we were presenting to one of their partners, one of their biggest partners. And it was a European partner and the head of marketing was there. And I was pretty bold about just like, I actually took their marketing examples and changed it to the way I thought it should be.
Sure.
Which was pretty daring in front of that. You know, I'm like,
and
on purpose put dramatic like red X's on stuff and said, no, it should be this. And afterwards, that CMO came up to me and he said, and I quote this all the time, you've given us a new way to talk about what we already know.
Okay, I was like, cool. I like
beautiful. That. Beautiful. Like,
wonderful.
Every time I get, you know, sort of down, I remember that. It's like, yeah, that's what I do. And I actually use that line in a lot of presentations I do now, probably unattributed. Yeah. But it's like, what I am trying to do for you is to give you a new way to talk about what you already know. Mm-hmm. I can't teach you about data management, but I can teach you how to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's really all I do now.
Very good. Very good. What makes you smile the most?
My kids make me smile. Good stories make me smile.
Yep.
Funny stuff makes me smile. Yep. Getting something right creatively just is a thrill. When something, you know, you work on something and it look all of a sudden it just sort of gels and you realize.
Yeah, it all comes together.
Early in my career, I would like show stuff to people and go, like, doesn't this look real? It's like, you know, so I've kind of gotten past that, but it's just a delight, especially if you're a creative person, to have something work, because not everything works.
Yeah, true.
You know, true. And you don't always know why it doesn't work, and you don't always get everything to work. Yeah. But when it does, it's just a magic moment.
It's magical. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have a secret talent that nobody knows about?
That nobody knows about.
Yeah, I mean, maybe your wife does, but no one else does. You know,
my girlfriend. Yeah. So, I can blow bubbles. I can blow a square bubble.
A square bubble.
I learned from a friend of mine, and I have blown probably the biggest bubbles some people have ever seen in their life.
Oh yeah.
With this bubble contraption that I
bought
from somebody, but it was years ago. But I love bubbles. That's a personal thrill of mine.
Uh-huh. And, bubbles. We'll have to call you Bubbles now.
I'm good at blowing bubbles. Yes, that's my. I guess that's my.
That's
new
your
moniker.
Secret talent.
The bubble whisperer.
Well, you can't really whisper with them, but anyway, if you weren't doing what you're doing right now, what would you be doing?
I think I would be in the creative arts somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, writing, acting, comedy, something. I'm just like, you know, like tell people I have a fear of not public speaking. You know, I'm just a ham through and through. So
good. What are the three things you can't live without?
Well, my partner for sure, Marianne, who's the data whisperer. She keeps me calm. She's my business partner. She's my life partner. If we live together, we're
perfect.
Officially,
always need
partners.
One of those.
Yeah, and then I would say coffee and carbonated water, seltzer.
Seltzer
beverages are just constant for me. Yeah, I'm still in the coffee phase of today.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, it's early for you, isn't it? Well, it's not that early, though, is it?
It's not that early.
No.
Not that early, considering
your just wake-up ritual was a bit longer this morning. That's all.
I had to work all day yesterday. That's what
happened. Dear.
To me.
Oh, dear.
A whole day I had
Scott.
To work.
Poor Scott. Couldn't get
I'm
up.
I'm still getting over it.
Okay. So what fictional character would you want to be?
Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck.
It's an idol of mine. He's just, really, an idol of mine, Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
So.
Any specific quotes from Daffy?
Oh, but I can only do it once. There was there's a iconic cartoon, and I used to work with this guy, who was an early mentor of mine, and he was super creative too.
Yeah.
And so we were always, when that happens early on, especially in sort of like a business setting, people start expecting stuff. Like, you know, I would write funny songs at the holiday party and he would sort of do
right.
the same things.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, so then you get this like pressure of like, okay, you need to deliver that.
You need to perform. Yeah.
And not everybody, it's like, well, how about somebody else come to the party? And we would collaborate a lot and sort of commiserate a lot. And we both, we both realized that we both love Daffy Duck.
Right.
And there's a cartoon where he's up against Bugs Bunny and they're doing this, they're doing a show. Mm-hmm. And every time Daffy does this wilder and wilder acts and gets like literally crickets. And Bugs just needs to like do a couple of tap dances and the whole audience goes absolutely nuts. So the final thing that Daffy comes out to do is it's this long, they actually cut it now because they don't want kids watching this.
Right.
And he does this long complicated trick where he drinks like nitroglycerin and then gasoline and then dynamite and all the, and then he lights the match and he swallows the match.
Oh no.
And he blows up.
And he gets a big applause.
They're like, and the audience goes
crazy,
absolutely wild. And Bugs is like, Daffy, that's great. That's great. That's, you know, that's wonderful. And he's floating up to heaven. And he says,
as they do.
I can only do it once.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our like little code word between me and this mentor of mine. It was like,
I can only do it once.
So,
yeah, I remember that. What's the last show that you binge watched?
White Lotus.
Ah. Yes. A lot of people have said that, actually.
Yes.
It's what's number one or number two?
Yeah. number one, and we decided we didn't want to watch number two.
Oh,
it was like, it was sort of dark comedy. It was funny. We got it, but it was just,
it was too dark. It was much darker than number one.
I don't want to go through all this, second version of all this.
Depravity
and pain and angst and like that. So it's like, I prefer more of, brilliant show. Wonderful.
Yeah,
I get it.
Show.
But it was like, we want to watch another 8 episodes of that.
What's the most adventurous thing you've done in your life?
I'm not that physically adventurous. So, I never did kind of, cliff skiing or whatever, but I think I'm probably more socially adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're asking sort of like the number one thing, which is hard to rank, but something that comes to mind is me sort of interrupting a Gartner conference keynote from Francis Ford Coppola. So it's a little bit of a long story, but I'll try and tell it shortly. So like there was a Gartner conference and Francis Ford Coppola was the keynote.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was actually for a different part of the conference that I wasn't in.
Right.
So I just sort of got into that. Not seeing Coppola. Mean, it was back when they used to separate the data management conference from the BI conference.
Oh,
it was,
I see.
Like the data management group.
They didn't want the two to speak to each other.
And the BI folks had like the ballroom. I mean, there's really like a segregation there.
Not
necessary, but we really felt like second class citizens.
And
we had like, some insurance client talking at lunch and the BI folks had Francis Ford Coppola. So it's like, there's no end. And so I get in there and I get to like the 10th row.
Yeah.
So I'm really close. And he's just, an icon for me. And the Godfather.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all this,
absolutely.
Master story.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask him a question. They come to the question parts. And so this Gartner analyst stands up front and asks a question. And then I see the person next to him ask the next question. And then the person next to him asks the next question. It's like, this is fixed.
Yeah.
So I catch his eye.
Okay? Yeah.
So I catch Coppola's eye like this. And he points to me. He's like, you're next. And I stand up and I ask them this question actually about storytelling.
Right.
But you could just see sort of this, the sneers over on the Gartner front row there. People like, I could have, and my face is up on the wall. And then after that, all these people were coming up to me because it was, projected and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that was, if may not the most adventurous thing, I knew it took some guts to just go like,
good
I'm
for you.
Do this, especially when I realized, it wasn't even a fair game here. They
set up
special clients who got to ask Coppola a question. But I actually asked him a question about storytelling. I said, how do you know a good story?
Yeah.
How do you know a good story when you hear it?
Is there a short response to that?
His short response was, you just feel it. You just know.
Yeah.
There was like no, formula.
Yeah.
I was waiting for, here it is, the oracle. Tell me what. But it's like, it was validation of things that I've worked on before. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of helped me trust my instinct more to know, something works or something doesn't.
How would you define yourself in 3 words?
Again, I would say creative. I would say humorous, funny. Mm-hmm. Humor is obviously a suit I lean on a lot. And then ingenious. I would add that
word.
That's what my girlfriend calls me because I figure stuff out. I figure and even almost mechanically, it's like, okay, if we did this way, or if I fix stuff all the time too. So I'm like a tinkerer.
Okay.
When I was growing up, or when my kids were growing up, they called, there was this inbox on my desk and they just called it the magic desk because they would put, they
stuff
would put
in
broken
there.
Things there and then they would be fixed. And
in the outbox.
Things aren't broken in my house. I go to an Airbnb and stuff is loose or doesn't work. It's like, how do people live this way? I'm tightening things. And stuff like you know, you
oh,
figure
brilliant.
Out, like, ways to make stuff work mechanically.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. Is there anything that is currently inspiring you in the data world right now?
I'm inspired by first of all, the idea that data management, even though it's been kind of taken over by sort of the data engineer talk and the architecture talk, but that it seems, come from the data governance, I guess, part of it now, feels like it's kind
making
of
making a comeback.
Due. Yeah, and you know, you don't want to say a comeback because it's like there was never anything worked in technology without data management, and that's, you know, one of my things I play on all the time. But that it seems to be, you know, getting more in the front seat, and also this trend, which is going on for a while, of, you know, personified by the CDO, of having a data office that is disconnected from IT.
Yeah.
And I think that is opening up a lot of opportunities and changing, hopefully, the nature of the conversation.
Yeah.
Because as you know, and I know, it's always like, you know, when IT was running data, it was really, you know, it was never information. Like the CIO, you know, I don't know why that I was in there. I mean, it was always technology. And they kind of got data because
no one else wanted it.
Because data's in computers and the CIO has, you know. But that is inspiring for me. And and what's also inspiring is actually kind of the group that I hang with, which you hang with as well. I mean, all these content creators out there who are really making some noise and getting some traction and creating that buzz in the marketplace. So these things are kind of inspiring me.
Yeah, cool. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Again, ever. Let me give you a couple. early in my career, I've always been, like you said, I've always been creative. I was, you know, it's funny that people are all into content today. I've been doing that for my entire career. You know, I had a column in a magazine, you know, when there were magazines, you know, it was a trade magazine.
Oh, magazines. Oh, I see. Yeah, those things.
Yeah, remember those?
Yeah.
But early on, so I got this column and I worked with this editor who's still a great friend of mine. And I was stuck and he just kind of went, he told me one day, he just said, do something. Because right now you got nothing.
Okay.
If you do something, then you'll have something.
Something.
And it's like, and it's, you know, and when you're faced with trying to create something, do what, where do I start? How do you do? And, and it kind of couples to my advice my father gave me about writing early on. I mean, this was like in junior high school.
Yeah.
He just said, do the easy part first. Which is kind of complimentary to do something. You know, because if you're starting with the hard part, you don't always start a story once upon a time. You know, if you're starting at the beginning and it's in your head the beginning, but you have an idea about this is the middle part, do that middle part.
Do that. Yep. And everything else will come out, won't it?
But get something going, because if, you know, that leap from zero to one is the most important.
Oh, it really is. Sometimes. Yeah. And I think that's the thing about being, you know, about creating content. You could literally sit there for a couple of hours thinking, what should I write about that is so intriguing? And that's the bit I think that we're all trying to get to, right? Something that's so super duper amazing, but actually just write and just
get out there. I mean,
just do it. You know, don't think it's got to be like this or it's got to be like that. Or anyway, what three words describe living in the US?
Freedom, choice, I think. I mean, there's just, and I feel this all the time when I see, I mean, despite all the craziness going on here, when you see other stuff going on around the world, I just feel lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel lucky that I'm in this, you know, you think about it conceptually, how much geography has to do with one's life.
Yeah.
You know, where you are physically, despite all this digital, can be such a determinant about how your life even is or not, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever, it's 100 examples around the world.
Yep.
I feel really fortunate to have somehow miraculously been born, and despite all the nuttiness. But
true. What's heavily played on your music playlist right now?
What's always on there is Miles Davis.
I'm a
jazz guy. I mean, that's like, you know, my funeral playlist. It's on there. But lately we've been going through a really strong Harry Styles stint. Ooh. Driven by my partner. She loves him, but we went to see him in September and it was a blast. We brought our own boas. And we share a playlist. We share the Google Play thing. Yep. So when we got the reports back, you know, they started sending reports.
Yeah. What have you listened to?
We're in the top 0.1% of Harry Styles streamers.
Oh gosh.
Dubious distinction, but exactly. I give her most of the
there
credit.
There you go.
But yeah, he's something. Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Baked goods.
Baked goods. Nice.
I'm a like bread is my chocolate. I mean, I will.
A really good
flaky
bread. What kind of bread, though? What kind of bread?
Any kind, almost any sourdough, French bread, anything with a crust, hot bread. I mean, I'm just a sucker for it,
and
more than sweet stuff.
So yes.
I would, you know, more than cake, or it's not really the sweet part. It's more of the, you know,
the savory,
they except for donuts, man. I would eat a donut every day if my doctor wouldn't tell me no.
Oh well, there you go. Doctor's always on your shoulders, eh? What was the most recent book that you finished?
Spare.
You did. You did. Spare and Despair.
Spare and Despair. Right. We had drove down to Florida, which takes 2 days, so it's like, all right, popped the other Harry. So we're Harry and Harry. We got double Harry.
So you're into Harrys, I see.
Yeah, okay. We're into Harrys of all sorts. Yeah, I just realized that.
So if you could go back in time, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Pack light.
Pack light.
I'm like, physically, don't bring as much stuff. Mentally, don't have as much, you know, emotionally, don't let it all, but just pack light.
Very good.
Still working on that, but
okay.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, I can see the big couch behind you, you know. If you could switch lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
Oh, Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah. I don't know. Today is Paul McCartney, but pick, you know.
I don't know if it's today's Paul McCartney, but you mean, you know, the Paul McCartney who was going out on the road and, you know, doing the shows. Paul McCartney. You know, okay.
That Paul McCartney.
What's the one thing you've always wanted to try but never got around to it?
Stand-up comedy.
Ah, you got to do it.
Like a real sort of.
Like a proper.
Like a proper. Yeah. You know, I would say my presentations these days have an element of that. And I try and, you know, kind of lean more toward the humorous and dramatic and entertaining side. But to actually do sort of a full set of material would be
kind of
holding that. So I think the closest, I might get there at Big Data London. So at Big Data London, I'm doing a session that has already been rejected by two other event producers because of the title. It's called Data's the New Bullshit, and I don't know why they didn't want, and so I'm gonna go from there. And it's really about like the craziness about how we talk about about data, and I'm gonna take my, you know, my best bits and put them all together and really
I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing
it. On, so I got some.
Absolutely. If you had to change something in the world right now, what would it be?
I would stop the war in Ukraine.
Yep.
Immediately.
There we go. Immediately.
Really. Just immediately. And you know, and whatever that takes, all those other ancillary things to stop it. But just, it's just, I was a history major, right? So even having, I mean, anybody anyway, just naturally, but having that perspective, and, you know, a lot of folks were just devastated by it, like just the, you know, I thought we were past that. I didn't know we still do that. As you know, it
seems
the
like
way
that,
humans
doesn't it?
Are
yeah.
dealing with each other. It's just a horrific thing to have to witness on TV, much less.
All warish.
All
warish is awful. Yeah. Yeah. But that's, I guess, you know, human beings like that. They want to dominate and they want to kill people and they want to get over, you know.
And it's geography, right?
It's, like, it's geography.
I'm next to you.
Yeah, but that's, anyway.
What are we on? I've lost count.
Let's not spiral on that one.
Are we on like 33? Where are we? Have we got a midpoint?
We're on 34. If you could resurrect if you could resurrect one person from history and put them in the world today, who would it be?
Mark Twain. Let's bring back Mark Twain.
Good. Do you have a favorite exercise?
Oh, favorite exercise? Rowing. I row,
rowing.
I kayak.
Nice.
So that for me is.
On the waters. Yeah.
On the water, and I also have a rowing machine, which I don't use enough, but
okay.
I love it. Yeah.
Love it. What's the one thing you wish you knew at the age of 19?
At 19? Probably more stuff about computers. They were just starting in a way. You know, Apple was coming out and stuff like that. So there's probably something there, just technically. Earlier, which would have gotten me into data earlier.
Oh, you could have been technical then.
I could have been slightly technical.
You could have been slightly technical. That would be scary.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I need to maybe I need to change that. Maybe buy Apple. That's what I would have. Yeah. So
if you weren't living in the US, where would you be living?
Probably the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I've gone, I've just loved it. The people are wonderful. They seem, you know, really fun and cool. And the whole, again, the sort of geography is really nice. Either or, you know, somewhere in the Caribbean would be maybe even more lovely. Yeah. How about the guy who changed it? The Caribbean somewhere.
Yeah. You've just changed it. Those Dutch people now are not going to change it. They're not going to let you back into their country.
That's it. Sorry.
Although there is the Dutch Caribbean island. So, you know.
Ah, then maybe that's the combo.
So you can couple them together. Yeah. There you go. If you could offer one piece of advice to upcoming data leaders, what would it be?
Learn your business.
There we go.
Learn your business. You cannot.
You've taken
as I told my
the
children,
words out of my mouth.
Learn your. Tell my children, who are two of whom are in the data parts of their companies, which I take some credit for.
Do you take? Oh, you take credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both of them admitted that they knew more about this than they realized.
Just, really?
You know, hearing,
just through osmosis.
Hearing me talk on the phone at home or being in the car while I'm having a discussion on the cell phone or something like that. Yeah. But you can't. The advice I told them was, you cannot learn too much about the business that you're in.
Yep.
And whatever that product or service is that you've got, you know, learn what it is, how it gets there, why people want it, you know, forget the data side of it, learn that business, and then the opportunities will come. And, you know, all these, you know, there's a lot of folks in the data space who complain a lot about the lack of business engagement.
Yep.
But you can earn that really quickly if you come into the business discussion with an understanding of what the hell your company does and why.
Correct.
It does.
Absolutely. Learn how they make money.
Yeah, I know you do a lot of that too. Yeah. I mean, you do a lot of that work formally with people to have them understand. Look, this is this is how you make the widgets, and this is where they go, and this is why they're important.
What was the best lesson your parents ever taught you?
They both taught me a lot about relationships, about humor, about my dad was just both of my parents were stars in a way, but they just had this great presence, and I think they both taught me through just sort of that how to manage that, how to deal with that. My dad would walk in the room and he always looked like he owned the place, you know, specific lesson, again, sort of his, you know, start with the hard part or start with the easy part. This is another thing I've used metaphorically. He's teaching me how to make a bed, and he goes, start with the hardest corner first.
Okay. Like
the opposite of his writing.
Yeah.
Advice.
Yeah.
But again, I take that sort of metaphorically. In some cases you do, because if you do the hard part, the hard corner over in the corner, then the other parts are sort of easier. And my mom had this incredible talent to, again, humor was throughout my family. And she would just go, sometimes she wouldn't laugh. She would just go, that was funny. Like, yes. Like, or this is, or that, that doesn't work.
Right. She knew.
Yeah, they both had a sense that was pretty incredible. And I think just sort of, you know, whether that's one lesson or many, it was certainly something that I took to heart.
Fantastic. So what's your favorite food?
Chicken Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite podcast?
Mark, other than this one.
Don't be silly. Just
Mark Maron, WTF. WTF.
Okay. Mark Maron. I haven't heard that one.
A podcast pioneer.
Okay. How do you relax?
Just hanging out. I mean, I sort of shut down. You know, I'm an extremely outgoing, social kind of person, but I can shift into tropical mode.
Yes.
And just be.
Sip a couple of pina coladas.
Quiet.
Yeah.
And not engage. And
yes.
Just sit there.
You need that though, don't you? You need that.
Yeah, I don't know, floating some water somewhere. So
okay.
You can't be at that, boom, boom.
No, not all the time. Not all the time. What's a movie that made you cry?
I'm already tearing up. It's just, Gregory Peck is just
Gregory
gets to
Peck.
me. So
Really?
I would say there's three movies that I always cry at the end, and they're all and they're three Gregory Peck movies. Roman Holiday.
Oh yes, yeah, fantastic
just,
movie.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
And The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit.
Oh
and
yeah.
And so
yeah.
I can just see the last moments of each of those.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He just gets me, this sort of stoic, strong, but emotional. But and he's not, and I think in all three of them, he doesn't even say anything. At the very end, but
Just his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It just gets me every time. I'm a mess, but I'm a sucker for Gregory Peck endings.
Well, who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
Let me see. I'm inspired by, again, it's hard to sort of rank all this stuff. I was inspired by my parents. I'm inspired by by what some of my kids are doing. And I'm inspired a lot from the people that I'm kind of playing with. I mean, I'll put one answer, Kate Strachney, who I think, she is just a machine, and the
She is a
way she
machine.
just,
Yeah.
and she's a one woman media conglomerate,
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just the way
yeah.
she cranks stuff out, and the
Oh, it's
pace and
amazing.
the quality and the depth.
And the fact that
She's,
she can write the books and this and that, it's
yeah.
just
So she's definitely
oof.
inspired. A person who inspired me in my career as it is today is, again, sort of picking up, it was Bernard Marr,
Oh yes.
who, when I came out of the corporate world and went, all right, I'm just sort of playing with this, content stuff and LinkedIn presence stuff. And I stumbled on him, and it wasn't any sort of envy or anything. It was just like, wow, he's making a go of this. And there's room for this. There's
Yes,
like people can do
do that.
this and actually have it be what they do. And I've had some connections with them, and I think we've become friends over LinkedIn, and I've had a couple conversations with them. But I think I actually posted something last year where the one of the big moments was I there was a picture he had posted something where he's going to some conference and he's sitting in like first class and he's got this glass of
Oh
champagne and he's like, I'm going to speak at this conference. I'm like, someday. And so
Yes.
last year I did this keynote at in France, and they flew me out, business class, and they also flew out my partner, so that was wonderful. And we're sitting there, and I said, okay, you got to get a
You got to
picture of me.
take the
Like, I
shot.
need my Bernard Marr moment. And I posted both pictures kind of next to each
Oh,
other. It's like,
fantastic. I've
there
done
we
it.
go. So that was, inspirational. And
Brilliant.
in that same time, sort of something else that was inspirational, if you don't mind, was I was watching American Idol, and Katy Perry, who I love, she was somebody didn't win or whatever, but they had built this sort of following and base, and she just sort of said, it's up to you what you do with that. Like, this is, you're real, you've got something. Now, again, sort of this theme I'm realizing is like, do something with it. Realize you've got, there's something there, but it's up to you to make it into something more, and nobody else is going to do it for you. So I found that kind of inspirational too.
What can you see from your window?
From this window, I can't see much, but from my I live in, there's two apartments that we have in this building, and where we live is, this is sort of my studio area, and said there's not even a bed here. My commute is one floor in this apartment. But on the other side, we live on in the fifth floor of this apartment building. It's like 50 units, that's literally on the water
Oh, fantastic.
in on Long Island Sound. We're on the Connecticut side, and so we have like a 100-mile horizon of Long Island Sound. There's water everywhere.
Amazing.
There's birds. There's a lighthouse. There's boats in the summer. I kayak off of this parking pier. I've lived in this building for 13 years now, and the way I describe it to new people who come in, I go, you will see something new every day if you pay attention. But there's always something new out those windows. And I mean, we will just sit We just sit out there, we call it watching the world go by, and it's boats go by, planets, stars. We saw a rocket once.
Amazing.
There's all these different fields of view. And it's a spectacular. I'm really
stunning.
Fortunate.
Stunning.
Yeah, it's just
wonderful.
So this side is the other side, which is just a park, so I don't get too distracted.
Okay. Good. What's a data trend that you would like to see disappear?
I would like to see disappear the marketing work that a lot of technologies companies do to create new terminology for things that already exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they want to coin like a new phrase or a new word and then make it that thing.
Yep.
And I find that just at times almost repulsive. I call it the Mean Girl School of Marketing, where, I don't know if you're familiar with that movie, but I think it's Rachel who's the main mean girl. There's another one, I should know the characters. So one of the mean girls is always saying, oh, that's so fetch. You know, that's
okay.
really fetch.
Uh-huh.
And the main mean girl goes, just stop trying to make fetch work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yep.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And I had that when I was working at Dun & Bradstreet, I don't know my name and names. That marketing department was filled with people who were trying to make fetch happen.
Uh-huh.
And it was so, and I was on another side where I was trying to clarify their story, because we're talking to people who do know the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's like, this is a technical field and you got to use the right words. They can smell marketing BS a mile
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, and it still continues, whether it's
TV or
other
it will.
And
I don't think
I
we'll
name
ever
any
stop
names
that.
Or any terms here, but
it will never stop, Scott.
Yeah. But there's people who do it really well. There's,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
I think terminology is important. And I think coming up with new ways to talk about stuff that you already know, obviously, is really important.
Yeah, yeah. Most of them will want to come out with something that's dazzling, and suddenly the narrative changes. And, you know, it's the same old, same
coining,
old.
This
right?
coining and this relentless attempt to sort of coin a new wacky term
that
just is truly meaningless. It's just like.
Absolutely.
I
agree.
Work. No wonder the business doesn't understand us.
No,
doesn't want to pay
not at all.
Oh, they're coming up with the new, you know, analytics graph hub, fabric mesh. That's what
exactly. Yeah, yeah. Or I like the one that you talk about, I pass gas.
Yes.
It sounds better. Sounds better with an American accent. I pass gas.
That's the punchline. So for those of you who don't know the backup, that's an integrated platform as a service. With governance as a service called IPassGas, just recently released from stealth but deadly mode.
I'm sure it was.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was shot down from the sky, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It's an elevator pitch you do not want to hear or be involved with. Yes.
Okay, well, here we go. What's a superpower you wish you had?
Time travel.
What's something you won't be doing in 10 years' time?
Hopefully work.
Looking
as
back
fun
on your...
as this work is,
well,
hopefully I won't have to be doing much more of it. But,
okay, but
unless
back...
I really love it. But I,
yeah,
you know,
but you do
I can't
love
complain
it.
Too much about the work I do at all. Yeah.
Looking back on your life, is there anything you would have done differently?
I think about this often because I am kind of spontaneous and I am quick-witted. And I'm not saying all of those are always the best things. But I think if I had a better understanding earlier in my life of – you don't need to take every shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and whether it was a humorous thing or a comment or a move or whatever, that some sense of like, don't take every shot because you don't make every shot, but also there's a balance there. I found myself like, I stopped, it wasn't that long ago, somebody's telling me a story and I kind of knew where it was going. And I said,
right.
The punchline,
oh,
it wasn't a joke, but it was like, oh, and I realized,
oh,
shut up. You know, I was like, let that, just cause you can figure, let them have that moment and tell that story and react to it. Even if you guess the ending.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, yeah, just kind of.
You spoiled it for them.
Yeah. And in a way I was like, that's not nice.
No.
And, you
not
know,
at
and,
all.
And it took me, you know, I think, too long to come to that sort of realization
right,
in my life.
Don't preempt. Just let them go with the flow. What's the best thing that happened this year for you?
It's only March.
Yeah, I know. Something good must have happened, dude.
Oh, there's some. I got a couple of really good gigs. Like I said, I'm really thrilled to be at Big Data London.
Yeah.
Doing this keynote for this association, Auto Care Association, that kind of work. Picked up some work from Informatica. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, momentum continues to build, a lot of these exciting kind of opportunities are coming. And so for me, I don't know if I could pick one, but seeing that momentum and watching that kind of happen from the journey I've been on the last couple of years.
Fantastic. Which movie makes you laugh the hardest?
Duck Soup. Consistently.
Duck Soup.
Marx Brothers.
Marx Brothers. Yeah, I know it.
Marx Brothers. That's probably.
I watched it when I was about 12. I remember watching it.
You got to watch it. It's a little problematic these days because there's some scenes that are probably not as appropriate.
Well, yeah, but you know what?
Anyway, it was like, I mean, whatever, the 30s.
Yeah, exactly.
But the advice I gave my kids was like, when I introduced them to the Marx Brothers, which is like required viewing in my household. Fast forward through the music in the Marx Brothers, and then conversely, fast forward through the dialogue in any Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie. And you'll get what you really need.
What you need.
Yeah, because we don't need to see Harpo play a straight harp.
Right.
And believe me, Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire movies, the plot and the dialogue.
Yeah, you just want to see the dancing. Yeah.
Deadly, but it's the opposite. There's my advice.
Good. If you could teach one subject in school, what would it be?
I think literature. I admire my my daughter-in-law is a high school English teacher.
Mm.
And she teaches, you know, the hardcore stuff, Macbeth.
Yep. Wow.
Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, sort of stories, teaching. It all comes back. I'm seeing my own motif in this discussion here. But this is great therapy, by the way. I owe you. discover yourself in 66
dude. I should be don't worry. I mean, if it's cathartic for you, it's great, you know, that's perfect.
Season two, you can offer it as a therapy.
I'm going into you are the last one in season two, do you know that? Well, actually a little bit of a white lie. I just realized actually the end of season two will be me. Someone's actually turning the tables. And I just realized.
Oh, good for you. I wish that was me. I have a question. Do you know who answered your 666 question? What devil answered that question? That would be
that's
your
11th
episode,
wouldn't you?
If you do the
that's
math.
What you do. What's a skill that you're currently working on mastering, if you are at all?
Oh, I am. I continue to work really hard on the craft that I am which is performative kind of business content, getting better at timing, getting better. I listen to my stuff all the time. I have a list of filler words that I'm sick of hearing myself say.
Sure.
I try to get better on timing and editing. I'm a one man production team, right? So lighting, sound, all that kind of stuff to just get better and better and better at it. And I'm continually working on that stuff. And it's really fun. I mean, another inspiring quote, I watched this tribute to Julie Andrews and she was talking about how early in her career, somebody said to her, an amateur does something until they get it right. A professional does something till they can never get it wrong.
Wrong.
And it was
beautiful.
Like, okay.
That's it. That's it.
Keep that in mind. I know, like I did this event yesterday and I'm not bragging. This is like when you know what you can do, there's a room of people. I haven't spoken yet. And this happens to me all the time now. And it's really fun. It's like, I know in a moment, the energy in the room is going to change.
Right.
Because people are going, this group of people who don't even know me are going to feel differently.
Yes.
Hopefully positively in a minute, but no matter what I'm about to do, whatever it is going to change the nature of this environment. It's again, it's really thrilling to sort of have a command of that and know how to use that capability.
Yep. What is something that recently moved you?
I'm trying to think. I think again, some of the stuff you're just seeing out of Ukraine. And you know, I mean, the kid-oriented stuff, the women, you know, atrocities. I mean, all this stuff just tears at me every day. I don't know what I can even do about it, but that was certainly, those are certainly things that I find moving and, disturbing.
What's one thing you had to learn the hard way?
Again, kind of when to shut up. When to just like take the moment, when to let somebody, you know, that kind of collaboration piece. I did a lot of theater, no kidding, probably no surprise. When I was younger, out of school and, you know, community theater, I was never had the desire to be kind of, you know, the people who I was with who wanted to go be actors. They had a spirit that I didn't have, I draw on the technique every day, literally. But keeping those things in mind and knowing when to be, you know, when to have the focus and when not to have the focus. And sometimes you screw up.
I think you said it earlier on, though. I think you said it earlier on. It's all about timing. It's all about how you orchestrate that in that moment, you know. So how do you handle pressure in your career? How do, what do you do to?
I'm looking right now. I don't have a lot of pressure. So
no, you don't? Okay.
Well, it's, I guess maybe that I probably do have some pressure, but it's not like business pressure back in the old days, you know, where you have like a number to make and a strategy to hit and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, breathing is always a good thing, no matter what. I mean, my, you know, when I'm with my partner all the time, she'll get, you know, concerned about, I just go breathe. I mean, it's simple. You think, well, you can't live without breathing, but people don't always do that.
No, they don't.
I realize, you know, I always get nervous before I do some sort of, you know,
gig,
presentational kind of thing. And
that's adrenaline though.
And then it took me a while in my career to realize, okay, that's just part of the process.
You got to channel,
you know, and you go through this, like even this short thing I did in this event yesterday, which was really not that big of a deal or a show. I went through a very short version of, okay, this is going to be great. Practice to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm going to nail this. And then the, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't, you know, or do I really know it? Or is this the right thing? And this doubt and kind of nervousness. But at this point, I know, okay, that's just, you're going through that phase. You're not going to get from A to Z without going through those middle letters.
Of course,
and that's
those emotions. Those,
this is it. But early in my career, it was like, oh, am I going to, oh, you know, you get kind of wrapped up into it. But literally knowing, no, that is part of the process. But you can't control it. So just take that
energy. Do it. And,
like I said, that
and
adrenaline. And turn that into fuel. And
agreed. Yeah, absolutely agree. What's something you notice about someone when you first meet them?
Kind of how they talk, for sure. How they kind of interact. How they engage. Whether they're paying attention. I mean, that's the big thing, right? Last night we were at this cocktail party afterwards, and I was just talking to one guy, and we're kind of going back and forth. And there was another person at the table, and they said, "You two know each other?" I was like, "No, we just met." Literally, just, he's like, "Because you look like you're doing." You know that, you know, when you kind of connect with somebody
at
some
kind
of subliminal level, it's really, it's really fun. But it's based on that. Yeah.
Awesome. Listen, my last question to you.
Okay.
What would you like to be remembered for?
For my humor, for my passion, for my kind of optimism, I think in life, I say my blood type is like my attitude: be positive. And if I can be remembered for that, and you know, and the love I gave folks, hopefully they keep it in their mind when I'm gone. So that's
fantastic.
What I hope I'm remembered for.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure to have you, even though you didn't comb your hair.
No,
that's fine. No, it's
that's
always
your 67th question. Where's your brush? Where's your brush?
No, I tell you, it's in the mail. I'm sending it to you. All right. Well, look, have a great rest of the day, whatever you do, if it's just chilling out and kicking back and relaxing, and enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend too.
Super. Thank you so much, Samir. This was fun.
Thanks so much.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.